teacher, Saint Luke the evangelist, and the pure disciple, may his blessings
be with us all. Amen.
From the Psalms of our teacher David the prophet, may his blessings be with us all. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a cloudy pillar. Savior and King of us all, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to whom is glory forever. Amen. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet, and no one in those days, and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen.
Glory be to God forever.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So as you know, today we're celebrating the Feast of Transfiguration, and there are some similarities to the Feast of Theophany. Theophany, I mean the revealing of the nature of Christ. Some similarities, obvious ones, yani, is that there was a voice from heaven, just like in today when we read the Gospel. There was a voice from God the Father in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." It's also like you can almost see the Trinity, right? You can see the voice of God the Father. Christ is there illuminating completely in his glory. And there's also, the disciples were overshadowed with a cloud. And the word overshadowed that they use is the same word that they use when St. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit to when the angel told Saint Mary the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. So first we'll just mention a few points, like a few points of theology on the Transfiguration, and then we'll share a spiritual meditation, yani for our benefit, for our own benefit. So Jesus, when he went up on the mountain, and his face started to light up like the sun, and his clothes became white and glistening, he does not become glorious at that moment, but he only reveals the glory that is already his, right? The disciples, they see Christ in a way that they had never seen before, because before that, his glory was always hidden by his human nature, and so they couldn't see him. They saw him as a regular person. And very similar to the way that when we look at the communion, we see bread and wine, but we know that mystically there is a lot more there than bread and wine. It's the body and blood. And it's important for the disciples to see him like this before the cross, because soon they're going to see Christ humiliated and suffering and crucified and spit upon. And so they needed to see him in his glory, so that when they also see him on the cross, they realize that, you know, he is God and he is all powerful, and he is doing this out of his own will, not because he has no power. The second point is that when we ask why Moses and Elijah, you know, the church fathers always say Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. And the fact that they were both there means that the entire Old Testament points towards Christ. The law and the prophets are now standing together witnessing to Christ. And another thing that's very nice, I find, about this Moses being invited to see the glory of Christ, if you think of it, is that, do you remember when Moses was up on the mountain, what he said to God? Like, what was his request? Does anybody remember? Yeah, he wanted to see the glory of God, right? He wanted to see the glory of God. And God told him, like, oh, well, no one can see the face of God and live, but what I'm going to do is, like, you can hide in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and then you'll see the back of my robe, and that's all you can see, that's all you can handle. And so that's what happened. And then when he came down from the mountain, his face was lighting. Everybody, like, because he, like, saw a little bit of the glory of God, his face was lighting so much as a reflection, not that there is any light coming out of Moses, but as a reflector of what he saw, his face was reflecting the glory of God. But in this case, Jesus is the source of that light. But what's so nice is that I feel like here God gave Moses the desires of his heart. Moses wanted to see the glory of God, and here he gives him the desires of his heart. He says, like, now come, and now you can see me in full glory. He saw Christ in his full glory, which is very nice. God oftentimes I've, like, me or anybody else, like, have prayed about certain things, and sometimes God did not, you know, give us the answer to our prayer the way that we expected, but he gives it to us in a different time or in a different way, which is better for us. And then also Elijah represents the prophetic expectation of the Messiah, because if you remember, there was a prophecy that says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, in Malachi. So the disciples themselves, right after the Transfiguration, they start asking Jesus about Elijah. So Elijah's appearance, you know, is like also the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. And it's true that Jesus, he implies to his disciples that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and so the prophecy is fulfilled in this way. But in another sense, also, Elijah actually appeared, and he is there before the awesome day of the Lord. Exodus of Moses. Okay, so when Moses and Elijah appeared and they started to speak to Jesus, do you remember what the gospel said, like what they were speaking about? It says that it was speaking about his decease, and in some versions it says his departure, but in the Greek original language it actually says his exodus, like the same word exodus that was used all over the book of Exodus, when Moses took the people out of Egypt and took them, saved them from the slavery and got out. It's exactly the same word that's used here, Exodus. So Moses led Israel through the Exodus from Egypt, and now Christ is about to to accomplish the ultimate exodus of Yani through his cross and resurrection and ascension. He's going to lead all of humanity away from the slavery of sin into eternal life and into like a perfect freedom in eternity. So that's why the transfiguration is much more than just like simply Jesus' face glowing. You know, some people might be like, why are we making a feast out of this? It's just like Jesus' face glowing. But the revelation, it is the revelation that the glory that Moses was looking for, the glory of God that he wanted to see, was revealed. And the God whom Elijah encountered on the mountain, and even when he heard him through a still small voice, and also the one whom the law and the prophets anticipated, all of these were pointing to the person of Jesus Christ in this feast of transfiguration. So it's a really beautiful and meaningful event. But now, to take this and meditate about the transfiguration for our own life and for our own edification, and if you think of it, Christ revealed his glory to three of the disciples. What were the conditions or circumstances under which he was able to reveal his glory to them? So it says that they had to leave the world behind and they had to go up on a high mountain to pray. So they had to leave the whole world behind and go up on a high mountain to pray. And as Jesus prayed, then the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening, and then, you know, the disciples saw it. So like step one was leaving the world behind and going up to a mountain, and step two was to start to pray and to persevere in prayer, especially for the disciples. Because obviously it didn't happen immediately right away. We know that it took some time because Jesus spent time up there praying and the disciples fell asleep again, you know, like they fell asleep again in prayer and so on. So there was some time of struggle there, and then the revelation of the glory happened. So Christ often, also in the Gospels, we know that he often like wakes up early in the morning and he goes to a secluded place to pray, either in the desert or on a mountaintop, wherever he happened to be, he would find a place and go and pray. And so the Lord is telling us that he wants to talk to us alone. He wants us to be alone. He wants us to like cut away the noise of the world and to go and find some place alone. And when we're alone with him, that's when it will all begin. Again, if we want to see the glory of Christ, we need to pray. You know, there's nobody that has ever seen the glory of God without prayer. None of the saints have ever become saints without prayer. There's a saying, like I called for me personally, this is the quote of the year. This is the best quote I've read all year, and I as soon as I read it, I sent it to like every WhatsApp group I had. The quote is from Father Bishoy Kamel, and he says, "Satan may allow us to talk about God for many hours, but he will prevent us from talking with him even for a few minutes." Satan will allow us to talk about God for many hours, but he will prevent us from talking with him even for a few minutes. And I cannot tell you how true this is for many of us. Even books on, many people can listen to like a 7-part series on prayer. You know, they can listen to an hour and a half podcast on prayer, and then they're unable to pray for 3 minutes like before going to bed, you know. And we can read books on prayer and attend seminars and do all kinds of things. We can talk about God. We can listen to many things, you know. But when it comes time to actually speak with him, like the war intensifies so much, and it's so difficult to actually do it. Like, we are too often like Martha, busy with much service in the church, Shani, and everywhere, and we need to be a bit more like Mary. We need to like take time to sit at the feet of Christ. I'm very inspired that Pope Shenouda was able to take one day out of the week to go to the monastery and to spend time alone with God. That was his time to go up the mountain. That was his mountain time. It's like it was very embarrassing for me to say that I don't have time if Pope Shenouda had time, you know, he was the Pope. It's like the most, the busiest job on the planet. And then he still took a whole day and met with the Lord. And of course, Pope Kyrillos was all prayer, but I don't know, I cannot like relate to Pope Kyrillos as much because he was just prayed all the time, you know. At least with Pope Shenouda, I can see like, okay, maybe that's something I can do. I can like dedicate a day or a half day. I could dedicate a half day. I don't know, when we were in uni, somebody suggested to us when we were in university to just pick one day of the week, like let's say Wednesday night, and then, you know, to dedicate that evening to say I'm not going to go meet my friends or I'm not going to do whatever. I'm just going to quickly finish my assignments, homework, and I'm going to spend the rest of the evening with God, like in prayer and reading a spiritual book and reading the Bible. Like at least I feel like that's, you know, something we can probably do. So he definitely, the Lord wants to take us up higher above the concerns of the world and show us his glory, but we have to be willing to leave the noise a little bit. So ask yourself, like, where is your mountain? Like, do you have a place to escape the noise of the world? Like, when you want to escape, like, where do you go? And of course, everybody will pray in their room, but sometimes we need to leave our house altogether and go somewhere specifically to pray in solitude. Like, for example, something that makes it very hard for me to pray at home is that everything that my eye touches reminds me of something I need to do. It's very frustrating, you know. Like if I look somewhere and I see something placed somewhere, I'm like, I remember, oh, I was supposed to send this package to Maruf Shi. If I look over there, I remember like, oh, I'm supposed to do this and that. I'm supposed to, you know, fix that and do this and do that. And, you know, so everywhere I look at home, it, like, it's constant reminders of things I need to do, and it's very distracting. That's why at least even if we're going to pray in our room, sometimes we have to like shut the lights and keep only an icon and a candle so that we don't see all this stuff. But sometimes, also because the home is known in our minds as the place of rest, when we get home and we're tired, we tend to like go into this like relaxation mode, you know. So sometimes I found that you have to go somewhere away from the house, especially if you expect to like spend a decent amount of time. For some people, that could be in their car. Like some people go to work a little earlier, like 20 minutes earlier, and they spend 20 minutes in their car before work starts, and that's like their mountain, you know. That's what they do. I guess for people who are able to wake up early enough to get to work 20 minutes early, it's a type of people, you know. Not everybody. Some people are happy if they can get there only 20 minutes late, you know. But anyways, so you have to know yourself. And then there's, you can go to a public library, you know, people are sitting and studying and it's quiet. You can go to an empty church if it happens to be open. You can go anywhere alone where, for me, like anywhere alone where there is no phone, I think that could like be a mountain. It's very, very important that the phone is not anywhere nearby. Like you'd have to really keep it away from you, and like use, you know, physical books or these things. And then after you, so I guess the first point is that I'm encouraging everybody, like if you don't know where is your mountain, then like come up with one, like create one, create a space where you can meet with God and spend intimate time with him, create a prayer corner, do whatever you have to do, you know. After you do that, the next challenge that Satan is going to present is like, now that you've gone up the mountain, now you're gonna fall asleep, or you're gonna be tired or lazy. Like just like the disciples, they went up the mountain with Christ, but as they were up there, they started to fall asleep and they were very tired. And I think that gives me some hope, because even after carving out time to be with God, sometimes like we're in the presence of God and we're still not able to like we have to fight against the flesh, you know. There's fatigue, distractions, memory of every useless detail of the day. And we have to fight against the flesh. And those who don't put up a fight against the flesh, and they surrender very easily, they will never really like see the glory of God. They'll never receive anything from God. And, you know, we don't expect much if you're not willing to put up a fight. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, like the same can happen when you're physically present in the church. You can do the hard work of waking up early and coming to church, but then when you're in the church physically, your senses might not be open to God. You might, your heart could be somewhere else and you can be distracted. So even though you physically brought yourself to the mountain to meet the Lord, now that you're here, you might start to struggle against the flesh. You still have to continue the struggle. You can't just be like, well, I came to church, good enough, you know, check, I put a check mark, I was here. There was a, I don't know, maybe my memory is not very good, but like less than a year ago, I heard in Dallas, I think it was in Dallas, somewhere in Texas, I have a very bad memory for details, but Amba Yusuf, in Amba Yusuf's diocese, one of the congregation members had a very vivid dream, and they went and told the bishop, they told Amba Yusuf, and Amba Yusuf told the priest of that church to say it in the sermon, because the person that was in the congregation had that dream about their particular church, and he said that I saw Christ at near the altar, he was there, but like it was very weird because the majority of the congregation were facing the door and they were not facing the altar, and there was like something like the yani that didn't sit right with me and I didn't understand, and then I asked Christ like why are they like facing that way, and he said something along the lines of like, because even though they're physically there, their minds are completely somewhere else, everybody like is thinking of like what they're going to do after and their concerns and their whatever, so their heart is not with me. And so that priest ended up saying that story in the sermon. Like I hope I can, I don't even know like where it is, but if anybody finds it or knows what I'm talking about, please send it to me, because so I don't like get the details wrong. But eventually when the disciples pushed through and they dealt with, like eventually they got through that phase of being fatigued and tired, it says that they, now that when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two that were with him. They saw the glory of Christ and they saw the two saints, you know, the two saints with him. So Christ says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Sorry, St. Paul says in Ephesians 5. And then the last thing that Peter says as a reaction to seeing this is like, wow, let us build three tabernacles. A tabernacle, to tabernacle means to abide with, like to build a place of rest, to build a place to dwell, okay? So when we see the glory of God, we will not want to leave prayer, we will not want to leave that place, we will want to abide there forever. And that's when time stops, that's when it doesn't matter anymore, like what time it is, and that's the closest we can get to eternal life, where there is no more time, you know, like we're above time. But that takes, like you first have to get through that struggle of sleep. Unfortunately, I'm the first to admit that many times we never make it that far because we already like give up at the struggle of sleep or the struggle of distractions, and we're like, oh well, we tried to pray and it didn't work. Mother Teresa says something, there's a very nice quote, she says, the fruit of silence is prayer, the fruit of prayer is faith, and the fruit of faith is love, the fruit of love is service, and the fruit of service is peace. So she has this chain because she was a woman of service, like she dedicated her whole life to service, but for her that service began somewhere else, it didn't begin by like sometimes with us, we're very zealous. We're like, yeah, we want to serve God. Let's go. And we jump right into service. But for her, service started with silence, which gave birth to prayer, which gave birth to faith, which gave birth to love, which gave birth to service. And so it all begins with silence or solitude. The final thing I'm going to say is that I was preparing a topic, like a longer series topic for another group somewhere about the Holy Spirit. And as I was preparing this topic, I came to a very like sad realization, you know. As I was preparing this topic, I felt like through the messages and through the readings that I was reading in preparation for the topic, I felt like God was telling me or teaching that like everybody has as much of the Holy Spirit and as much of the presence of God as they already want to have. Like, you have as much of God as you want to have. And then when I read that, I was like, what does that mean? Like, no, I want God so much more than I have. Like, I always want God more. Like, I always say to God, like, fill me more. I want to be closer to you. I want you more and more, you know. And then, the Lord was telling me, like, no, you don't. You have as much of God as you already want to have, you know. And then I kept on, like, digging and trying to understand, like, why are you saying that? Like, what does that mean, you know? And then, like, the reality is that all the saints and any Christian that has the Holy Spirit, that was baptized and chrismated and has the Holy Spirit, he's abiding in us and he's living within us. And we fellowship with the Holy Spirit as much as we would like to have him in our life. Yani, for example, like if you ask yourself, how badly do you want God? How badly do you want to go up the mountain and see his glory? How badly do you want to see his glory? And most of us would say, like, oh, very badly, yeah, we want to see his glory. But then compare that to, like, when someone is a student and has finals and is trying to get, like, I don't know, into pharmacy or get into whatever, and they're studying super hard, and they're like, how badly do they want it? Like, you'll see that they want it very badly by the fact that they're willing to, like, pull, like, 3 all-nighters in a row and study super hard and do this and do that and sacrifice a whole bunch of things because that's how badly they want it. You know, there are some other students that don't want it as badly, and they're just, like, chilling and having fun and going out with friends and whatever, and they don't really want it that badly. They're like, an athlete, when an athlete wants to win the gold medal, like, how badly do they want it? There are athletes and there are athletes. Like, there are soccer players that like soccer because it's fun to play soccer, and there are soccer players that will kill themselves and will, like, eat certain food and wake up a certain time to train, and they will, like, refrain from staying up late. They'll do all kinds of crazy things because they want it so much more. Like, they want it so badly. And so, if I'm being honest with myself, and I promise I'm talking about myself, like, I don't want it as badly as I claim to want. Like, I might say something with my words, but my actions are different. Like, I don't want God that much, that badly. Because if I did, my actions would have shown it, you know, would have been, like, really, really all in, you know, all in. And so, but he is willing, like, he is all in from his side. He's willing to make us all into saints. He's willing to make us all, like, into, you know, the men and women he has dreamt for us. So I guess the final message is that if we want to see the glory of God and the glory of Christ, he wants to give that to everybody, but you will have to, number one, like, leave the distractions, go up the mountain, and then when you're on the mountain, you're going to have to struggle against fatigue and laziness and all the flesh in general. You'll have to struggle against the flesh and persevere in struggling against the flesh. And only if you really want it so badly that you keep on doing these things, even if it's hard or boring or, you know, dry or any of these things, if you struggle enough in that phase, then eventually you will see the glory of God and you will want to abide in that glory forever. So may the Lord give us that hunger, because I think, like, we don't all have that hunger. May we be more hungry for him than we are for, like, careers or success or wealth or any of these things. May we have a hunger for him, like, more than any of these things. Glory be to God forever.
متأسفين خلص على التأخير في الترنيم لأن الإنترنت معصلك خلص معنا بقاله كم يوم كده مش عارفين بسهولة بشفاعة والدة الإله القديسة مريم.
يا ربنا إن لنا بمغفرة خطايانا نسجد لك أيها المسيح مع أبيك الصالح والروح القدس لأنك أتيت وخلصتنا رحمة سلام ذبيحة
Make us worthy to pray to you, thankfully, our Father who art in heaven.
Κύφαλος ημών του Κυρίου κοινότε δος χωμήθη με το βοβάμι
ειρήνη πάση Αγίος Σίδη Ρωπή Ασφάν Μεσσίε Πνομε Λοχίδου Κλήματη Λεύ Αλήλα δί κατάκ κουλ ρμπατότ χωτέρα μκαμπέλ αλέμ κουλές ελμαχιέ Αδίνε φαχαφόγη τελεμίδα Κοντήσι Ιουσουλατάρ Καρολαχούμ Ρησίδα Ρησφίλετου Σινζιου Ρεμιδάρ Ρεμιτου Δεμαντού Σουτσουλητήν Σελβιδητήντ الآن أيضا يا سيدنا من قبل السلطار أنعمت على الذين عملون في الكهنوت في كل زمان في كنيستك المقدسة أن يغفروا خطايا الأرض بتحك الرباطات الظلم. We ask and entreat your goodness to love our mankind, to your servants, and my weakness to those who bow their heads before your holy glory. Dispense unto us your mercy and lose every bond of our sins. If we have committed any sin against you, knowingly or unknowingly, of tongues, of heart, and deed, and word, from faint heartedness, though master on us the weakness of another good and true one, grant us the forgiveness of our sins, bless us, purify us, make us absolved, and all your people absolved. Fill us with your fiends, strengthen us, and to all your goodwill, for you are our God, the glory, the honor, the dominion, the adoration, and the duty, good old Father, the Holy Spirit, the life giver, who is of an essence with you now, and at all times, and up to the ages of all ages. Amen. Ma pia Christos pennuti. مورن دتيرين منان تكرين سمنان تكرين كنو في النيفول جي ثوب تتي بون بي اون بي اسمن بي امان شايني امين Because worthy to pray to you, thank for your Father who art in heaven. ولأن محبة الله الآب ضابط الكل ونعمة ابن الوحيد ربنا وإلهنا وخالصنا يسوع المسيح وشركة وموهبة وعطية الروح القدس تكون مع جميعكم فيكم امضوا بسلام سلام الرب يكون معكم ان شاء الله بكره بنعمه المسيح القداس فريحي عيد التجلي المجيد وهيكون من الساعه 5:30 للساعه 7:30 نعمه المسيح ربنا يدعي عليكم الايام بالخير والبركه وايضا بالليل ان شاء الله هيكون النهضة بكرة الأربعاء بالليل لم نشكر قدس أبونا مايكل توداريو لأنه استعجل عشان يلحق يرجع بالسلامة إن شاء الله بكرة هيكون أبونا مينا يوسف ده من أحدث الأباء الكهنة اللي ترسموا في مونتريال أبونا مينا يوسف وهيكون معنا إن شاء الله هيكلم معنا عن القطعة الثانية من تسبيحة الأربعة The second page from the Wednesday Theotoky ربنا عليكم يعيد عليكم الأيام بالخير والبركة امضوا بسلام سلام الرب يكون معكم أمين